All right, bros and broettes. So, I know most of my listeners here are obviously from the beautiful Cork, like myself. But I'm willing to bet that most of you are probably unaware of Cork's House of Horrors in the city centre. It was dubbed Cork's House of Horrors in the mid-90s due to the gruesome events that unfolded in there. Today, I'm going to tell you the true story of four men that went missing from the eerie house on Wellington Terrace in Cork City. A little bit of local history here for you now on a Sunday evening, or whatever day you happen to be listening. But if you're standing outside the Marina Market in Cork, and you look across the water, you can see the house, right above the train station. It's now painted red. I went up there the other day to take a picture of the house to promote this episode on Instagram. So, if you want to see a picture of me standing outside the house like a jackass, head on over to @thc.pod on the gram and make sure that you're following the page. So what happened? In the mid-90s, three men vanished from this house in Cork. Wexford man Cathal O'Brien, along with his friend from Wales, Kevin Ball, they went missing in April of 1994. Then, Dennis Patch O'Driscoll vanished in December of that same year, 94. Gardaí discovered that three of the missing men had known each other at various times, and they had all spent time staying at a property at 9 Wellington Terrace in Cork City. And just for those of you not familiar with my hometown, Cork, we're located on the southern coast and it's dubbed the real capital of Ireland. However, it's the second most populated city after Dublin. But as the population grew in the mid-90s, so too did the problems that come from living in an urban population. Drugs, gang feuds and homelessness began to increase in Cork, and certain areas around the city started to become associated with various parts of these marginalised groups. One of these places was a three-story end-of-terrace house on Wellington Terrace on Grattan Hill. It's about a 10-minute walk from the heart of Cork City and tourist attractions such as the English Market, and it's overlooking Kent Station, which is the main train station here in Cork. There's also a fine view of the city from the house and the River Lee. The building had been converted into flats and was rented out as low-cost bedsits with shared communal areas. It was cheap, it was well-known and well-used by men who found themselves in difficult living situations, so basically it was like a homeless shelter. Cathal O'Brien was from Kilmore, County Wexford, and had just moved down to Cork in the summer of 1993 with the hopes of finding a job. He was 22 years old and had recently graduated from college in Waterford with a computer and business studies degree. He was 5'11 with a medium build and long hair that he wore in a ponytail. At the time, he was serving as a volunteer in the Cork Simon Community, which is a group that provides services to homeless people and those in need. He was doing this while in pursuit of a job. However, he went missing in April of 1994. In the months leading up to his disappearance, he had had a falling out with the people in charge of the Simon Community due to the fact that he allowed some of the men he met there to stay with him, which goes against the charity's policy. After he went missing, his diary was found in the house on Wellington Terrace, which mentioned the falling out with the management of the community and that he was very upset by it. Cathal's family first thought that he might have travelled over to England to go to the various music festivals that were on during the summer and that he'd come back afterwards. He wasn't the type to just disappear without a trace. He would always keep in touch with his family, especially if he was on the move. Cathal was also trying to help a man named Kevin Ball to move on from the lifestyle that he was living, taking drugs, drinking and petty crime. So it was very unlikely that Cathal would do a full 180 and join in on these kinds of activities. But Kevin Ball had also gone missing from the house on Wellington Terrace in April of 94. Kevin was a 42-year-old man from Surrey in England. He and Cathal met in Cork and became friends. And like I said, Cathal was sort of mentoring Kevin to change his ways and get him on the straight and narrow. But the two men vanished in April of 94. Kevin was described as a bit of a hippie. He had spent some time in the British Army before drink and drugs took over. He was of athletic build and usually wore a knitted hat. He moved to Ireland in 1993, leaving behind a wife and daughter back in the UK. When he got here, he would stay in tents or the Simon community before he got a bed in that house. Late night parties at the property on Wellington Terrace were very common, with alcohol, drugs and magic mushrooms allegedly consumed in large quantities. It was during one of these parties that events turned chaotic. Cahill and Kevin were thought to have gone missing following a huge, violent argument with two other men in the house. It was noticed that they were missing after they had failed to collect their social welfare payments. They would both always pick it up on time up until that point, and they both relied exclusively on that payment to support themselves. Questions were asked around Ireland, Britain and mainland Europe to see if the two men had left the country, but there was just no trace of them. There was another man staying at the house who was said to be a witness to the big argument on that night in April, by the name of Dennis Patch O'Driscoll. In 1994, Patch was 32 years old and was originally from the nearby Mayfield area. He was known as Patch due to the patch he wore over his eye because of a car crash he was in when he was 15. He lost an eye and he lost many of his teeth. He had received extensive reconstructive surgery due to the crash, and afterwards he suffered from epileptic seizures, which he had to take medication for up to 4 times a day. Patch was unable to work due to the impact of his injuries, and he was receiving disability payments from social welfare. He had no permanent accommodation, so he moved between hostels run by the Simon community in Cork, and he stayed with family members from time to time, before eventually ending up at the house on Wellington Terrace. But shortly after moving into the house, he was never heard from again. He was supposed to head up to his sister's house on December 18th for a Sunday dinner, but he never showed up. It was then his sister Jean Bailey began asking around for him. She wasn't necessarily panicking at this stage, as she was told by a number of people that Patch had been seen around. Their mother, however, was very concerned. Jean even tried to calm her mother down by saying that she had seen him herself, even though she hadn't, because one of the people that said they saw Patch was so convincing. But after a few days, the family all became increasingly concerned, because Patch just wasn't like that. He wasn't the type to go off on his own randomly. He was a harmless fella. He used to get his disability money, give most of it to his mother, then he'd buy a few beers and cigarettes with the rest. He did have another sister living in Wales, and it was hoped that maybe he went over to her, but she called home asking about him because he hadn't arrived at her door. His sister Jean searched his room at the house on Wellington Terrace. When she found his dark glasses, his medication and his false teeth next to his bed, she knew something was terribly wrong. Patch was very self-conscious about his appearance since the crash. He would never leave the house without his false teeth, and he was heavily reliant on his medication. Patch was officially reported missing on the 2nd of January 1995. Jean, her two brothers, and a few friends, they searched everywhere for him. They even searched the train lines close to the house, in case, you know, maybe he had drank too much and fallen on the tracks there. And it was later revealed that Patch had actually won a bike in a raffle a week after he was last seen. The bike was valued at £400, but he had never come forward to claim it. And then the family were told about a £180,000 was owed to Patch from his car crash that happened in 1979 as part of a compensation settlement. The compensation was delayed by many years as it was being objected against by the insurer. Unbeknownst to Patch, he had been the passenger of a stolen vehicle which was driven by his friend, Fred Flannery, when they crashed. So, He had no access to the funds, but he had been expecting to get access to the funds in the next few months, and he could start rebuilding his life. Now, let's pause it right there for a second, because I know that's a lot to take in, so we'll just do a quick recap. We have three missing men, all staying at the same house in Cork. There's a lot of alcohol and drug-fueled parties, and an argument breaks out at one of these parties in the house in April 94. Two men go missing, Cathal and Kevin, and then Patch disappears 7 or 8 months later. Was this just a coincidence, or was someone responsible for all three men's disappearance? A man by the name Dave had also been staying at the house around the same time, and Dave mysteriously up and left the house shortly after the men were declared missing. It was speculated that maybe the three men had fallen victim to some sort of satanic cult at the hands of Dave. Dave had the number 666 tattooed on his hand, and he was kind of a strange character. After Dave left the house, 16 bags of rubbish were removed from his room, along with a pigeon that he kept in a cupboard in his bedroom. The pigeon apparently left droppings all over the house. He was brought in for questioning in relation to the missing men, but was quickly ruled out as a suspect. He was very cooperative, and even spoke to Cathal O'Brien's father, Seamus, directly. Cathal's father, Seamus, told the Evening Herald that he believed his son was still alive and in England somewhere, and he was just probably drawn into the New Age party lifestyle. I mean, he was just 22. Gardaí did not yet have any leads, and instead of carrying out an investigation of the house, they decided to search the woods in Glanmire and Tivoli, where some of the men were known to have stayed in tents at various times. And the Gardaí were still hoping that maybe three men were in England somewhere. RTE put out an appeal for information regarding the missing men, which received a great response from the people in Ireland and the UK. Many of those people in the UK claimed to have seen a man matching Patch O'Driscoll's description in Manchester. He was a rather unique looking man, as he wore an eye patch. He would stand out anywhere he went. But it was concerning that none of the three men had applied for social welfare over there in the UK or anywhere else. And like I mentioned earlier, they were all heavily reliant on their social welfare payments. So something wasn't adding up. Cathal's father, Seamus, rejected claims that his son had fallen victim to some kind of serial killer. He had faith. He said that Cathal had been going through a tough time in the months leading up to his disappearance. He and his girlfriend had just split up before he moved to Cork. His best friend had just moved away somewhere, and he was struggling to find a job. And also the fact that he had a falling out with the directors of the Simon community in Cork. His father, Seamus, said, perhaps in a fit of repressed anger, he decided to take the boat with his new friend, Kevin Ball, even though it still seemed fairly odd. However, the O'Brien family were really the only ones holding out hope that their loved one was still alive at this stage. It was confirmed that the men spotted in Manchester matching Patch O'Driscoll's description were in fact other men. Gardaí were asking men with eye patches to come forward so they could eliminate some of the sightings from their investigation. And Gardaí also began to consider that maybe all three men were killed and buried in the outskirts of Cork somewhere. Jean Bailey, Patch's sister, was convinced that her brother was dead since December. He had left too much behind, and it was just too out of character for him to go off like that, despite his unstable life. In March 1995, a news reporter, Mark Smith, showed up to the house only to find the place completely empty. The people that were living there would rather sleep rough than stay in that house where three people from their community had vanished from. So instead of speaking to residents of the house, he spoke to neighbours around the area. He was told that Patch was drinking in his local bar, the Black Rock Castle, on the 16th of December, the night of his disappearance. The bar was open late that night, and Patch had come in for a few pints and a game of poker. He left around 1 a.m. He seemed fine, they recalled, and he didn't mention any troubles or worries that he was having. However, His brother said that Patch was in fear for his life because he knew something. His brother claimed that whatever information Patch knew was likely to be the cause of his disappearance. And then rumours began circulating that Cathal O'Brien and Kevin Ball were beaten to death in the house by two men. Patch witnessed this happen and was killed several months later with fears that he would tell Gardaí what he had seen. And these rumours would later turn out to be true. One of the two men believed to be involved in the beating of Cathal O'Brien and Kevin Ball was a man named Fred Flannery, who you might remember I mentioned earlier. Fred Flannery was friendly with Patch O'Driscoll, and he was the man driving the stolen vehicle that crashed when Patch lost his eye many years earlier. He was also a down and out and was well known to the Gardaí. He was known to sleep in tents in the woods around Glanmire before arriving at the house on Wellington Terrace. So the house was eventually searched for any clues that might lead them to the whereabouts of the missing men. The house was sealed off and forensic teams were actually brought in from headquarters in Dublin to carry out a thorough examination of the flats alongside the local team working the case. Patch's sister Jean received a dramatic anonymous letter made out of newspaper clippings that read, "You're next." She claimed that she knew who sent it and would not be intimidated. Crime journalist and author Paul Williams wrote an article in the local paper claiming that he received credible information that the three men were killed and buried in the woods in Glanmire. And while the friends and the families of the missing men searched day and night for months all over Cork, Gardaí were setting their sights on a house in Mayfield. Mrs. Flannery, Fred's mother, had four sons and lived with one of them in the house in Mayfield, and they were removed so Gardaí could carry out a search. Two of her sons were known to be delinquents, Fred Flannery and his brother. This was Fred's family home, the residence of the house. Like his mother and his other brother weren't suspects in the case, but Gardaí believed that their garden may have bizarrely been dug up without their knowledge. Gardaí knew that Fred called in there and drank in there from time to time, and there was an industrial estate right behind the house. There was a piece of land between the house and the industrial estate that may be an ideal place to bury a body. Gardaí didn't reveal any indication as to what led them to dig in that area, but scaffolding was put up around the house and in the green outside the estate so that Gardaí could search for bodies. How humiliating for Fred's poor mother, Mrs. Flannery. She was said to have already had a tough life, and the search was estimated to take around 2 weeks and involve a full excavation of the property. Trees were dug out and they intended to search the surrounding area inch by inch. Sniffer dogs were also brought in to help conduct a search. They had received information about other areas around Cork, but going off whatever information they did receive, they decided to prioritise this area, specifically the back garden of the house in Mayfield. And apparently two other houses in the area were being heavily observed. Jean Bailey, Patch's sister, spoke again to the press asking whoever is responsible to please come forward. The O'Driscolls, the O'Briens, Kevin Ball's family back in the UK, and now this poor old lady who was forced to leave her home and have her garden dug up. Jean pleaded with whoever was responsible to just please come forward and put us all out of our misery. Gardaí placed a porta cabin with electricity on the site, indicating that they would be there for a while longer, and many people from around Cork, along with, you know, news outlets and journalists, they would come to visit the site daily for a look, which irritated the neighbours. But to make matters worse, local residents in the Mayfield area were now claiming that Fred Flannery may have been responsible for the disappearance of yet another man who went missing in Mayfield in 1993. Frank Blackie McCarthy was a 24-year-old low-level drug dealer from Lotamore, Mayfield, and a known associate of Fred's. He was last seen leaving his house to meet a friend for a few drinks, but Blackie never showed up. He used to visit Fred at the house on Wellington Terrace before they had a major falling out, probably over drugs or money. Apparently Frank was badly beaten up by Fred, and Frank would soon end up in prison for 2 years after he had broken in and set fire to a pharmacy in Mayfield. It was shortly after he got out of jail that he went missing. So it was very likely that Fred had something to do with his disappearance as well. I hope you're keeping up with this story, like, there's so many twists and turns here, I know. Maybe it's time for another quick recap. So, bear with me. We have three missing men from a house in Cork City. Their families are desperately appealing for anyone with information to come forward. Fred Flannery from Mayfield, who was also living in that house, is the prime suspect. It's speculated that he beat the three men to death and buried them in his mom's back garden in Mayfield. And now, while Gardaí are digging up his mother's garden and searching for bodies or evidence, it's now speculated that he might be responsible for a fourth missing man from Mayfield, who went missing just a couple of years before all of this. And that man was also known to visit Fred at the house on Wellington Terrace. Are you with me? Okay? Are we good? Let's keep going. Now, who remembers Veronica Gearan? She had a huge interest in this case. This was going on like a year or so before she was assassinated in Dublin, and it would have been one of the last major cases that she was working on. She revealed that Gardaí were acting on information given to them by a local 16-year-old boy who witnessed the killing of Patch O'Driscoll. So that's what led them to Fred Flannery and then onto his mother's house. Gearan also stated in an article written that a dig was set to commence in the Glanmire Woods in the coming days if nothing was found at the house in Mayfield. And ultimately, nothing suspicious was ever found at the house in Mayfield. Apparently, Gardaí had deliberately received a false tip, which led them to search the house in Mayfield, which then gave Fred enough time to move the bodies from where they were actually located. It was a well-thought-out diversion. Veronica Gearan described the main suspect, Fred, 35, as a delinquent from Mayfield who got involved in petty crime from a young age. He was a heavy drinker and would work on building sites from time to time, but never held down a job long. He preferred drinking on the streets than in pubs, and he became well known to the teenagers who would drink in Glanmire Woods. When he mixed alcohol with drugs, it was thought that he would become very violent. He was a long-time friend of Patch O'Driscoll, and he met Kevin Ball and Cathal O'Brien when he moved in with them at the house on Wellington Terrace. Gearan's article went on to reveal that Ball and O'Brien were killed by Fred and another unknown man after an argument had broke out in the house on that night in April. It's believed that Kevin Ball was saying something to Patch O'Driscoll along the lines of, "How could you still be friends with someone that did that to your face? You lost your eye because of Fred. How could you still be friends with them?" And that's what they were arguing over. So Fred and another man started beating and battering Kevin Ball severely. And then Cathal O'Brien jumped in and tried to help his friend Kevin and break up the fight. The two men, Fred and the unidentified man, beat Kevin Ball to death along with his young friend from Wexford, Cathal O'Brien. They then gruesomely cut the bodies up with a knife and a hacksaw and disregarded of their remains in the Glanmire Woods, very close to Vienna Woods Hotel in Cork. And this all happened while Patch O'Driscoll was present, so Fred decided that Patch had to go as well just a few months later. Gardaí were concerned that Fred may have gotten a taste for killing and that other deaths may follow. Fred was described as a weirdo by the neighbours, and he and his brothers were known as the Crazies. They had a lengthy criminal background for assault and theft. They were all expelled from school and were well known for stealing cars, setting fires, and violent assaults during burglaries. Nice guys. And just as Veronica Gearan had claimed in her article, within a few days, Gardaí began digging and searching in Tivoli, Glanmire, Lotamore, and other parts around Mayfield. They found evidence that digging had occurred in Glanmire Woods, along with a bloodstained shirt. And finally, early on Saturday morning, the 27th of May 1995, Fred Flannery was arrested and brought into the local Garda station to be questioned. Fred was remanded in custody for the murder of only Patch O'Driscoll. It was later revealed that the two men, Kevin Ball and Cathal O'Brien, were buried in Mayfield, but later dug up and reburied around the Glanmire Woods, and later dug up again and their bodies were eventually burnt in a bonfire. It is widely believed that Fred didn't carry out these killings and burials alone. Kevin Ball was a big, strong man, and remember, he served time in the army. Like, it was very unlikely Fred could beat him up on his own. But his accomplices were never identified or arrested, and it's believed that they probably still walk free around Cork to this day. Fred Flannery's trial began where hundreds of people showed up to see justice served. And as if murder trials weren't dramatic enough, Fred, who was handcuffed to a prison officer, was rushed at by a man wielding a knife while he was walking into the courtroom. Flannery was unhurt as the prison officer pulled him to safety. The man wielding the knife was the brother-in-law of Patch O'Driscoll, and he was immediately detained and brought to the local Bridewell Garda Station. He was later released without charge. In court, the state claims that they were going to present evidence that proves Patch O'Driscoll was killed in December of 1994, and he was dismembered and buried in a field not too far outside Cork City. However, his body had not yet been found. It was a very tricky court hearing with multiple delays for various reasons. Patch's sister Jean gave a statement. His brother Noel gave a statement claiming that Patch was in fear of his life in December because of what he had witnessed back in April of 94. And the 16-year-old witness that Veronica Guerin mentioned earlier on, who was leaking information to the Gardaí, they also came forward and gave a statement. The 16-year-old, who had since turned 17, by the way, turned out to be Fred's nephew, Michael Flannery Jr. He used to call down to the house on Wellington Terrace and drink tea and smoke a few joints with Patch and Fred. But after Fred had killed Patch, he told his nephew about it and asked that he would help out discarding of Patch's body. Michael Jr. claims that Patch's dismembered body parts were scattered all over the house. Some parts had been taken out in the rubbish, and other parts were left around the house in cupboards and in shelves. Obviously, the kid was traumatized by what his uncle had shown him, and so he decided to do the right thing and tell Gardaí everything he knew. He recalled seeing Patch's leg in a wheelie bin outside the house with the sock still on it. He claimed his uncle Fred had dismembered Patch O'Driscoll into about 10 different parts. He claimed that his uncle Fred had killed Patch 2 weeks prior to the discarding of the body by beating him over the head with a hammer and choking him with a rope for over 15 minutes. Fred needed help getting rid of the body, and that's why he got his nephew involved. The kid claimed to have helped him lift a big sports bag into the boot of a car, along with a stuffed backpack. The bags were taken away and left at a nearby house overnight, and the next day brought to an area near Vienna Woods Hotel where they were dumped and buried. Michael Jr. said that he was at the site in the forest by Vienna Woods, just a short drive outside Cork City, and later after that, Patch's remains were again taken out of the ground and reburied in a nearby field. This guy Fred Flannery was such a sick bastard, he arrived up to see his nephew after a few days and he put a pill bottle on the table and said, "Be a good boy, Patch is watching you," because the pill bottle contained Patch O'Driscoll's good eye. The only eye that he had at the time of his death, I suppose. But Michael Jr. was so scared and he just wanted to run out of it and get out of the whole situation, but he was afraid that he would meet the same fate as Patch did if he told anybody. I mean, you can't blame him. He was 16 turning 17. And Michael Jr. had recently been in treatment for drug use in March 1995. And it was there that he decided to tell people what he had seen. Michael phoned his dad and asked to be picked up from the treatment centre. And when his dad arrived, he told him parts of what he had seen at the house on Wellington Terrace, and that he was thinking about killing himself. But after Michael Jr. dropped his bombshell in court, the court was adjourned for the evening. The judge then received documents that basically counters everything Michael Jr. had stated. They said that he was underage, he was drinking and taking drugs heavily during the time that these events occurred, and that he previously stated that he wasn't even sure if the body parts he had seen were real. The documents also stated that Michael Jr. had been coached by the Gardaí to say that what he had seen were definitely real human body parts. So the reliability of Michael Jr.'s statement was brought into question. It turns out that he had previously given a number of different versions of what had happened. And basically, Gardaí and Cork really dropped the ball in this case. There was a lot of missing documents, key witnesses that proved to be unreliable, and the trial just collapsed and could not be rectified legally. There were no bodies and no proof that Fred was responsible, even though everybody knew that he was. He got off on a technicality and walked free from the court. He refused to give a statement before being driven off from the Green Street Courthouse in Dublin city centre. Jean Bailey, Patch's sister, gave a statement claiming that she now feared for her life and the safety of her family, and she requested protection from the Gardaí. And 3 weeks after Flannery had walked free from the court, there was a development in the case. On Friday the 19th of July 1996, Gardaí received a call from a local man who had been out walking his dog along a path near Lotabeg in Cork. His Jack Russell had been particularly interested in a certain spot over the last few days and would start barking and acting strange when he walked over that same certain patch of land every day. So after a few days, the man decided to contact the Gardaí. So they came and they dug and they found two black bags in a shallow grave. They found the badly decomposed remains of Patch O'Driscoll. His body was just 2 feet below the surface and was badly dismembered and partly burnt. This spot was also covered in rubbish from Teens and Mayfield's drinking sessions, or bushing as we like to call it here in Ireland. The spot was less than a mile away from the house where they had excavated a year earlier. This area had also been thoroughly searched as well back then, and nothing was found.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Shut your mouth, Siri. Sorry about that. They were able to confirm that the body was Patch O'Driscoll by dental records and DNA sampling. They examined the surrounding area, hoping that they would find the other missing men, but they never did. On Friday the 16th of August, Patch's family were able to have a proper funeral and burial for him at Holy Cross Cemetery in Mahon. So Patch's remains were recovered, but the other 3 missing men have never been found. Cathal O'Brien, Kevin Ball and Frank McCarthy are still out there somewhere. And those who assisted Fred Flannery with the murders and the disposing of the bodies are also still out there. Someone knows something. Cathal O'Brien's father, Seamus, is still pleading for information 30 years later as to where his son's body may have been buried so he can take him home and give him a proper burial. Poor, poor man. And as for Fred Flannery, well, he hung himself in Carrigaline in May 2003. He took those secrets of what happened in that house at 9 Wellington Terrace to the grave, and he was the only person that knew where the bodies were buried, and he took that secret with him to the grave also. Patch's sister Jean said that she can finally sleep at night for the first time in 9 years, now that the monster was finally dead. And she said that she will be dancing and drinking champagne on his grave. If anyone out there knows something in relation to the whereabouts of Kevin Ball, Cathal O'Brien and Frank McCarthy, they are advised to contact Mayfield Garda Station on 021 455 A510 if you know anything at all about what happened to Cork's missing men.